This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, Dr. Vic here. I hope you have an amazing summer. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, I hope you have an amazing winter. Excited to bring back a guest today that we had a great conversation before. You'll find his show notes in there of his previous episode, but this is Chris Burrs, and we're all talking about longevity. We're getting into the mindset, how it's so crucial. Now, you've heard mindset before on this podcast. This is not something new, but how crucial it is to achieving longevity and living a healthier life. We'll get into that. We dive deep into sleep, exercise, and nutrition. But he also talks again about his product that he has. He says he formulated this product called ESS60 and how it reduces oxidative stress and supports mitochondrial function. Mitochondria is the powerhouse of energy for our body. Without it, we don't survive. And then there's different tissues like your heart and brain have the highest concentration. So this does massive for brain health, heart health, and everything in between. And so we get into all that. We address the aging as a whole. He did a whole entire longevity, interviewed 50, I think it was like 50 something people. So he shared the wisdom and the nuggets of what he got from there on this episode and so much more. So before we get into the episode, make sure you subscribe, you like the episode, wherever you're listening to, please share a review. It gets this out there, creates this movement we're trying to do to really elevate humanity to a whole nother level. If you read my book, Decoding the Matrix, you understand what I'm talking about here. So go ahead, do that. Click below. Also, one last thing I want to share with you guys. I did come out with a new ebook. It is totally free as of now, all about manifesting abundance. And I share the 5 quantum principles of what you need to do in order to do that, how to energetically align yourself, raise your consciousness level to get to there. So check that out. It's all in the show notes. Here is my second time doing this wonderful welcoming back, Chris Burrs, to the Mindful Experiment. Chris, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Dr. Vic, so glad to be here again. I'm excited to reconnect with you, reconnect with your audience.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you back on. I know you've been up to a lot of stuff since the last time we've talked. Like, you interviewed like 55 longevity experts. You wrote your own book. I mean, you're doing awesome stuff. And I know I've shared your product. I've talked about it. It's amazing and what it can do. And for the listeners, Chris was on the show before. I apologize. I don't know what episode it was, but I'll have it in the show notes. So check it out.
It was the best episode. I think
there we go. It's one highest ranked episode out of the 500 and X some odd episodes we've had. So just a heads up on that.
And we're currently recording number 2.
Yes. The second best. I love it. Yeah. But, you know, for those of the listeners, you want to hear the science on this stuff. And I know we're going to get into it again, but it's check it out. We went really deep there. But Chris, tell me, 55 experts, what was like the top couple things that you took away from that longevity, all interviewing them all?
Well, yeah. And maybe just to get a little bit of background, how did I end up interviewing 55 experts? And it really goes back to this molecule. So we'll touch on it real quick. If you're listening, I'm holding up a model of a molecule. The model looks like a soccer ball. So if you imagine a soccer ball, the lines on the soccer ball represent the bonds between the carbon atoms. So a spherical molecule of 60 carbon atoms. We call that ESS60. Scientists thought it would be toxic. They put it in a toxicity study. Instead of being toxic, the test subjects that they gave it to, in this case, it was Wistar rats, lived 90% longer than the control group. So the single longest longevity experimental result on mammals in history is because of the formula that I sell regularly. So that really thrust me into this longevity space. And I'm a big believer of sharing content that you're accumulating. And I believe in it for 2 reasons. One is the very altruistic, hey, I've accumulated this information. I happen to be fortunate enough to be in the position to be paid to accumulate this information. I should share this with anybody willing to listen. And then two, very much less altruistic. You really cement information in your mind, right? You're in a podcast. You really walk away with more concrete information in your own mind when you turn around and teach it, when you turn around and talk about it, when you turn around and write about it. So I wrote the book, Live Longer and Better. Your journey to living longer and better has never been more achievable than today. It's the story of the molecule, how it was discovered, the molecule won the Nobel Prize, the study where the rats live 90% longer, and then kind of my journey into the longevity space. And then you fast forward till, I don't know, even 7 months ago, if you were Dr. Vic, you were like, hey, Chris, you're going to interview 55 experts in longevity, and it's going to include Ben Greenfield. He's a little bit lesser known outside of longevity and biohacking spaces, but very famous in those spaces and has written some 14 books. Dr. Stephen Gundry, a former practicing pediatric heart surgeon. He did heart surgeries on kids, like holy smokes. And now he's a four-time New York Times bestselling author. I interviewed him. And then Dave Asprey, I think Wikipedia attributes the phrase biohacking to Dave Asprey. A lot of people may not know him, but often people know of Bulletproof Coffee. He's the inventor of Bulletproof Coffee. So if Dr. Vic, you were like, Chris, this is it, 55 experts, including those three guys, I said, listen, Dr. Vic, I'm the kind of guy who lights to set himself up for success, not for failure. I don't know how I'm going to, I can't even see. In fact, the organization that I work with, they're called Health Means. They were like, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to interview 35 to 40 experts. And in my head, I was like, I think I can probably do 25. Hopefully they won't be that angry. And then I ended up doing 55. A lot of it is, I've got to give props to Natalie Needham. She's an amazing biohacker, amazing wealth of knowledge. She has her own kind of private group that is in depth. That digs deep into biohacking and you know, and just to share, like, what biohacking is how do I optimize my environment, the things that I do within my environment, so movement and exercise, and my nutrition/supplementation, so that I can have optimal performance of my brain, right? My memory, my recall, my speed of thought, and then my physicality, right? So one, so that I feel my best, and two, so that I'm not suffering from any sort of chronic disease or I'm not in en route to something that's going to be very problematic. So that's biohacking. And then I ended up interviewing 55 experts. Now the takeaways, I'll tell you, going into this, I was thinking about two silver bullets, right? What is the silver bullet that's going to, literally like a bullet, going to kill us? Right, that it looks like we don't have any opportunity to solve at this point. And the other one is, what is the silver bullet, hopefully like a pill that we could take, and then like we're all good, and you know, we don't have to be focusing on nutrition and sleep and all that stuff. So unfortunately, one silver bullet seems to exist, but that's the death bullet, right? And what I'll lay that on, I had two interviews with stem cell scientists, and stem cells are the repair mechanisms of our body. And, you know, there's a lot of excitement. It was mentioned in Life Force. Life Force is a book with Tony Robbins and Peter Diamandis. Amazing book, thick book on like where medical technology is related to longevity. And in that, he talks about stem cell injections that he got actually in Panama and how beneficial they were for him. So stem cell, really big and exciting. Our bodies create our own stem cells, and you kind of know that your cells are replenishing themselves. Like, we're really familiar with skin cells. Yeah, you're sloughing off millions of skin cells every day, and they're getting replenished. Well, they don't get replenished like underneath. There's the next skin cell. What's happening is throughout your body, you have a flow of stem cells, and they're running around going like, where am I needed? And then, oh, I'm needed as a skin cell, so it turns into a skin cell. Or I'm needed as a kidney cell, so it turns into a kidney cell. Our muscles, as an example, every cell in our body, that's every muscle cell in our body, gets replaced every 30 days, right? So there's a lot of stem cells running around doing this. Well, stem cells come from your red bone marrow, and red bone marrow shrinks as you age. And at some point, you know, that's a problem, right? Like, that's a legitimate problem. If the repair mech, imagine you got your car, great. When the mechanic's not available and there are no more fluids for your car, you can still drive it, but not for long, right? Just not for long. Now, and there may be solutions to this, right? They're already, pulling stem cells, growing them. You can't do that in the United States. You can't grow them exogenously outside of your body and then inject them. But if that is where we get to, then yeah, we've got solutions. You might have some sort of kind of dialysis situation as it relates to stem cells. So that's kind of the silver bullet, the negative silver bullet. And then the positive silver bullet, I don't think there was any one thing, but I like to share there. I asked every expert at the end of the interview, give me 2 to 3 habits, protocols, mindsets, let's call them shortcuts because everybody likes shortcuts, that you would share about longevity and living a longer health span. And we aggregated all the data. And I got numbers here. I got numbers and charts. It's exciting. So 33% of them referenced sleep. 52% of them referenced exercise. And I would break that exercise into exercise and movement. 52% mentioned diet. And then 46% mentioned mindset. And the first time I saw these stats, my mind immediately went to, wait. 33% mentioned sleep and 46% mentioned mindset. I'm not sure they got this right. Right, because we know how important sleep is, right? Sleep is good for your mental, physical, and emotional well-being. It's a pillar of health. If you go read the book by Dr. Matthew Walker, Why We Sleep, amazingly scary book about what happens when we don't sleep, right? So my first thought was, okay, the experts kind of got it wrong. And then through a couple of conversations over the next couple of days, it totally flipped the switch, which is they did get it wrong, but for not the reason I thought. Mindset is everything. So let's be realistic. If you're not getting your 7.5 to 9 hours of sleep opportunity because you're doom scrolling or you're exercising later in the day, or maybe you're getting that amount of sleep, but it's not good because you're having a drink right before you, like if you're not optimized for sleep and you don't have the mindset to optimize for sleep, you're screwed, right? Like you're not going to get better with your sleep. Same thing with your exercise. If you know you need to train harder, faster, longer, whatever the dynamic is that you need to do. If you know you just need to get off the couch and go walk for 5 minutes and you don't have the mindset to do that as a start, right? To do that, then that's the biggest problem. And the same thing with nutrition. If you struggle and don't have the mindset to really empower yourself to put the donut down or whatever it is, right? The proverbial donut, then you're not going to get there. So I really think that if we think in terms of silver bullets for enhancing your health and enhancing your longevity, it's the mindset that it can be done. Not only can it be done, you can do it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think mindset's everything. Cause like if the Joe Dispenza's work, we're the placebo, right? If you think that, longevity, can't have, because like I've talked to a couple of longevity experts and I've been researching this for the last 3 to 4, about 5 years now. And it's like, we are so close to what they call is the escape velocity.
The escape velocity of longevity.
I mean, we're 10 to 20 years. They keep saying it's coming. We're going to be turning that clock backwards now. And I always tell people, I'm like, but if you don't believe that to be true and you have a perception of that, or you don't believe you can be healthy or whatever that is, no matter what you do. I mean, me as a chiropractor, I always tell people, like, some people say, well, I believe chiropractic. I said, well, it's not a belief system. There's a science behind this. But I'm like, but I will say this though. If you don't believe it doesn't work, no matter what I do, it's not going to help you. It's just not. I'm not going to be able to do any of this. Yeah. But I love it. And so with what you're doing, I think it's such a huge component to it all, because with C60 or ESS60, you do C60 for short, correct?
Well, we use C60 for industrial applications. So that's, we really don't encourage people to encourage C60. I mean, to encourage people to consume C60. That's the stuff you put in inks, batteries, tires, and photocells. ESS60 is C60 that's been processed for safer human consumption.
Gotcha. I apologize about that. Yeah, I totally forgot. But the ESS60, it's one of those things where, the free radical consumption, we talked about this last time on the episode where it was like, I think it's 4 electrons, if I remember correctly.
Six.
Yeah, I know I was cutting you short too there. But I remember we were trying to break down the numbers, like from one drop, the nanotechnology, how much the free radicals it can remove and stuff like that. I think it was in the trillions, if I wasn't mistaken.
Yeah. So each drop of our product, right, which is the typical product we recommend, is olive oil, a high quality organic extra virgin olive oil with as much of this ESS60 molecule as we can get to dissolve in it. And by the way, not that much dissolves, like compared to like sugar and water. It's not that much. Even though we can't get that much in, each drop of our product has 400 times as many of these molecules, these ESS60 molecules, as you have cells in your body.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, just one drop.
Yeah.
Now you start thinking about how much mitochondria. By the way, I had a conversation 2 weeks ago with a mitochondrial expert out of the University of California, San Diego. He's Dr. Emil Patel. Amazing conversation. As I was preparing for that interview, I was trying to find out like what cells in our body have the most mitochondria. And I kind of knew the answer going in because, so I used to talk about every cell in your body has between 50 and 5,000 mitochondria, right? Then I'm reading this article and it's like nerve cells and brain cells have 2 million mitochondria. I was like, well, that's not between 50 and 5,000. Like that's like, I'm no math genius, but I know that that's not in that range. So whatever was reporting between 50 and 5,000, and that's, I don't know, if you're going to do an average, you should give one number, right? On average, cells have this one number. But so then I'm like, okay, what is the actual number and where do we find even more? And I found some research and he confirmed it. That your eyes actually have significantly more mitochondria, right? So the rods and cones in your eyes that are the light receptors and color receptors have significantly more mitochondria. It's like, okay, that's an interesting article. How many? So you would think that you could go on the internet and find out how many mitochondria do rod cells and cone cells have, and I could not find the data. And what it left me, that's very perplexing, except if that data isn't really concretely understood. So like maybe we don't know, like we know, oh, it's a lot, right? It's a whole lot, but we don't like know counting them is harder. And that's really what Dr. Emil Patel confirmed is like, this is non-trivial things to go like, I see a lot there. How many are there? Especially if you think about counting one nerve cell having 2 million. So even though we've got 400 times per drop, you know, part of you might say, well, oh, like that means each cell gets 400 of these ESS60 molecules, that should be enough. Well, not if you've got 2 million mitochondria, and that's what we're trying to address is mitochondrial function. If you've got 2 million in your nerve and brain cells, yeah, one drop isn't enough.
And then it also sums the thing too, like some people think, oh, I take these things and it just happened instantaneously, I should be good to go. But it's like, it's a process because there's so much of that. Because it's when you're talking about the cones and the rod cells, I'm sitting to myself going, is it like looking at a forest and you just see, you know, there's a ton of trees, you just don't know how many trees are there?
Yeah, yeah. Right? That's the impression that I got as I was doing this research. And I thought my impression going in prior to jumping into the research was, okay, this is something that's knowable. And then it feels like, okay, it's knowable, just not yet.
Yeah, because then when you're like, what's the body has the most parts of most mitochondria? I'm like, it's the brain, brain and everything. But it's I lost my train of thought on that now. But yeah. Mitochondrial health. We talked about that before too. It's so critical in so many different ways. But again, coming back to that is like restoring that is from your stuff of what you do. And also taking from the longevity side is the one of the like, because I'm always looking like, what's that deepest root because of like for longevity? And I love, again, like I said, I love what you're doing with the whole the removal of the free radicals, how much it takes out of the system. I'm like, that's just great because everything turns into free radicals. Stress turns into free radicals. Everything does. And that component. But is mitochondrial the thing then that is going to help with longevity, or is there all their facets that we have to look at also?
Yeah. So I mitochondrial is pivotal. And I think we don't even yet understand how pivotal it is. Like, it's just like, it's knowable, but we don't know how much. I think stem cells, right? So I mentioned that earlier, like that's pivotal. Like that's the repair mechanism of your body. If that's not optimized, then you've got significant challenges. There's, you're not going to do well from a longevity perspective. And I think when you talk about the free radicals that mitochondria, and you talk about, you know, how quickly things might happen as people are taking our product. So we can go back to the BOSS theory, right? Buffering oxidative stress system. That's where this ESS60 molecule we know from peer-reviewed published research is in the mitochondria. We know that it can hold up to 6 negatively charged particles around it. So we believe it acts like a buffer, that it holds on to those so they're not running or doing damage. But think about when that has to happen. That means a mitochondria, which is functioning normally all the time, right, ostensibly, and it does create reactive oxygen species, and it's inherent inside of the mitochondria has glutathione and melatonin to manage those reactive oxygen species. In order for this to be of any value, those glutathione and melatonin components have to be depleted, right? And there have to be an abundance of reactive oxygen species that are overwhelming the existing system. And that's when this ESS60 molecule can come in and start holding them. Now, there's another component that a lot of people don't think about, is that reactive oxygen species are also signaling molecules. So you don't want to deaden the signal entirely, right? Because they're part of the system, which is like, hey, reactive oxygen species are popping out of this mitochondria. He needs help, right? And we're going to personify this to the nth degree. He needs help. Like, that's a signaling of like, hey, we've got problems. We need to create mitogenesis, right? So we're duplicating the mitochondria because that one's struggling. We need more of them. And then also uncouple them, make them more efficient. And our current belief is that not only does this molecule hold on to those reactive oxygen species, but it does not prevent the signaling aspect of those molecules. So they're still able to be, be the red flag that is saying, hey, I need some help over here, so that you can create mitogenesis and that you can uncouple those mitochondria so they're more efficient.
I love that. I remember we chatted a little about that before, and I was like, that's so cool how it can do that. So it's fascinating on all that. I do want to touch a little bit on your book a little bit, though. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what can readers expect? What are the things if you can share the top three things, is the reason why someone should read the book?
Yeah, I think my goal in the book, so one, the book, you know, Live Longer and Better has, and I'll talk about a charity aspect as we wrap things up, but one, the book has this fascinating story of the discovery of this molecule, the three scientists winning the Nobel Prize of this, you know, for discovering this molecule, it going into the study. The study is an amazing study, the longest longevity experimental result on mammals in history. All of that is covered in it. And then my journey into longevity, right? So my first kind of thought process, my responsibility in the company is, well, is a 90% extension of life even a big deal, right? Like on day one of seeing this report, I don't know. I suspect it is, right? I've never been at a GNC and seen any product or like extend your life by 10%, right? Or never read an article on men's health that even said extended by 10%. And so you dig into the research, and really the next best way to live longer is calorie restriction, right? If you reduce your calorie consumption by 30%, they've done this in multiple animal models, and it's got strong research to support that you can extend your life by 30%. So that's my first job, is to jump into that. And then I'm starting jumping in. Our most consistent testimonial is people take it in the morning, they report mental focus and energy during the day, and then better sleep that night. Very unusual. Like, there aren't many things that you would take in the morning. I know of the things that pop to mind. If you exercise in the morning, good sleep at night. If you get exposure to the sun in the morning, you know, get your circadian rhythm in line with the rising and falling of the sun, you'll sleep better. But in terms of taking things, not much. Well, because that was one of our most consistent testimonials, I've got to start doing research on sleep. Like, how important is sleep? Like, I think we all do a lot of lip service to how important sleep is, right? But you stop the lip service after you read that book by Dr. Matthew Walker, Why We Sleep. And then, you know, into longevity. So I'm reading Lifespan by David Sinclair, and his tagline, I love it, Lifespan, Why We Age and Why We Don't Have To. I just wish Matthew Walker's book was the same, Why We Sleep and Why We Don't Have To. That would have been a nice tagline, but that's not a thing at all. And so I'm digging into these, and as I'm accumulating this information, I really get this concept of the, like you said, the escape velocity of aging. And there's some really good stats to support that. And so one of the reasons I want to write the book is to further Dr. David Sinclair's lobbying process of, hey, we really should be dealing with aging, not just the individual diseases of aging. And to kind of expound on that, there are investment dollars for Alzheimer's, for arthritis, for cardiovascular disease, for cancer. And a lot of people are like, yeah, if we could just solve one of these, we would dramatically extend human lives. And the reality is, if you solve any one of those, you actually only extend life, I don't know the exact number, like 3 to 5 years, because the next disease is just steps in its place, right? Solve cancer. Well, then, well, cardiovascular disease is the biggest one. Solve cardiovascular disease, then cancer takes in, and then solve cancer, then arthritis, Alzheimer's takes in. But those, the key indicator on all of those diseases is aging. And so if you can address aging, you actually address those. The problem is the medical community does not see aging as a disease. It does not see aging as something that is even addressable. And if we make that change, then by solving for aging, then you're actually going to significantly help all of these other diseases, the impact of all these other diseases. So I want to forward that. I want to forward the concept that, yeah, so my mindset at this point is we can live a lot longer. Actually, I think ultimately we'll be able to live forever, which means then that's the escape velocity of aging, which means at some point there will be a last guy to die of natural causes. So it'll suck to be that. I mean, he won't really know, right? But you don't want to be, you want to be on the other side of the finish line, whichever side you think is the right side, where you're not the last person to die of natural causes. And to support this, some people out there listening to this going, we're always going to die. This is always like, there's just nothing we can do. The age is 122. That's when Jean Clément died. That's the oldest living human to date on record. In 1950, medical information doubled every 50 years, 50. Today, medical information doubles every 73 days, right? So by the end of this year, we will have 16 times more information, medical information, than we had at the beginning of this year. So if there's something that is even remotely possible, it's going to happen a lot faster than you think and you realize. And so that is, I think, a key argument for that. And those are the kinds of things that you'll find in the book, along with stories like, I fell asleep behind the wheel. Nobody got hurt, including me. Thank God. But it was a traumatic event. But I told the story from the perspective of what it was like to be in college still and be starting a carbon nanomaterial business. Because after I fell asleep, I did get to the office, and then I worked an 8-hour day. Right, because it was just that exciting. Like I wasn't at work, you know, nodding off like we've all had a long night or something. I worked an 8-hour day because everything I was doing was so exciting, and that's captured in the book. And some advice, you know, we had some explosions. Don't do that. Like that's, you know, I mean, I guess we could just bullet point that. But yeah, I think it's a good read. I got a good compliment. My co-author is a 2-time New York Times number one bestseller. So to get on the New York Times list is a monumental effort. And then it's exponentially harder to get to number one, and he's done it twice. And the way that I thought this was going to work is there's a little bit longer story, but I'll keep it short. Is I thought he was going to go write the book. He's going to listen to interviews and maybe interview, go write the book. I was going to read it and go, this is a great book. We should publish it. And then we were going to publish it. In our very first book writing meeting, he goes, all right, Chris, I'm going to need you to write down your story. And it was at that moment that I was like, I guess I'm writing a book. and he gave me a great comment. He did a great job fixing the prose, but he did compliment me. He liked my writing style. You know, I'm a little bit self-deprecating. I'm trying my hardest to teach lessons and tell good stories. And he helped me to do that.
And you do a great job at it too, by the way.
Thank you.
I appreciate you by having you as a guest. Chris, how can people get the book, find the book, learn more about you, the product, and all that stuff?
So I mentioned the charity aspect of the book. You can get the book on Amazon. You can get the book on the website. We've got a link for you, which is myvitalc.com/Dr. Vic, DRVIC. On the website, you can order a signed copy, right? So I charge $10 for the signed copy if you want it both signed by me and the New York Times number one bestseller, Dr. Jerome Corsi. It's $15. There's a charity piece to that. 100% of the signature fee, so the full $10 or the full $15, goes to an organization called OAR, Operation Underground Railroad. If you remember a movie fairly recently called The Sound of Freedom, which is about child sex trafficking, I actually saw the guy that movie is about as a speaker at an event last year. That movie came out. Obviously, the speech moved me. The movie moved me. And so 100% of the signature fee is going to Operation Underground Railroad. And yeah, you can get that at the website or on Amazon. The audiobook, I think, is done, but I haven't listened to it. Yeah, I keep getting on interviews and remembering that my guy got it back to me and I haven't had a chance to do anything with it. If you go to the, when you go to the website, right? So myvitalc.com/drvic, we've got three products, olive oil, avocado oil, and MCT oil. I recommend the olive oil. That's for two reasons. We're a science-based organization. All the research is in olive oil. Also, we can get the highest concentration of this ESS60 molecule in olive oil. So that's why we recommend it. There's a 25% savings if you go on subscription. So go on subscription, take advantage of it. Even if you just want to try it, if you just want one, our customer service team has 850 five-star reviews on Google. They are not trained to talk you out of your subscription. You can cancel it via email, phone call, however you want. And that'll do it. Just take advantage of that savings. And then there is a coupon code. It's also DRVIC, Dr. Vic, and that'll get you an additional $15 off your initial order.
I appreciate that, brother. For all the show, for all the listeners, this will all be in the show notes for you to get access to it. Check out the products. I've tried it. It's amazing. I highly recommend it. Chris, thanks for coming back on, my friend. This was a blast. I know I'm going to have you on again. I just, you're a wealth of knowledge and your passion and what you do. And I love having that. And we'll definitely have you on again.
Thank you so much, Dr. Vic. This was awesome.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.